In the name of the Father, and Son, Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Today, we hear the testimony that St. John the Baptist gave about the Lord Christ and about the nature of his ministry. And one of the famous verses that we remember related to him, this great saint, the greatest prophet born to women, speaking about the Lord and saying, "He must increase, but I must decrease." And actually, if we look at the nature of men in the world, we see that the world is divided between givers and takers, and actually maybe givers and complainers. St. John the Baptist was a very good example of those people who are living to give. And when he gives, apparently he should decrease in order for someone else to increase. We need to examine ourselves and we see which group we see ourselves fit. Those people who live as givers, they are driven by a noble purpose that is outside themselves. This is what St. John the Baptist was all about. We don't know anything about his personal life. He didn't have anything that is personal to him. All his life, since his appearance to Israel till his martyrdom, he was driven by a purpose. And my brethren, feeding our children is not a purpose. This is something that we share even with the beasts and the birds. They do the same. Purpose is something above and beyond this. It's something related to a being be outside me and much bigger than my existence. St. John the Baptist also in his testimony said, "He who has the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly because of the bride's groom voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is fulfilled." His joy is simply in watching the bridegroom taking the bride, seeing God's will is fulfilled. And when he sees this, this is enough for him to make him to rejoice. His joy in most not is in possessing something, in achieving something as a person, but rather than to see God's will in his life and the life of the people around him is fulfilled. It's another concept than what most of the people in the world now are after. Every person is after, what can I gain? How much should I increase? How much should I achieve? How much even I should compete with the people around me, even if I'm going to smash anyone, doesn't matter. It is all about me and my success and my prosperity. It's all about me, me, me. This is what we hear all the times. That's why the givers, those givers are very few. It's people about others, about other purpose, about God, about fulfilling a purpose in their lives. Those people who are givers also are very much aware of whom they are and what they are called for. Again, St. John the Baptist, when he was asked, "Are you the Messiah?" They said to him, "Who are you, that you may give an answer to those who sent us? What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord." He is very much aware of whom he is. I am the voice. I'm just someone who is calling. I am not the one. Can we relate to this? Can every one of us say that I am this? I am the voice. I am the helper. I am the person who facilitates this. I am the person who supports that. I am the person who is doing this and this. He is defining himself with the function and the job that was given to him in his ministry. I am the voice. If I take pride in anything, it's by being just the voice. Again, this againest the takers. In their mind, they are everything. And the whole world revolves around them. Everything should serve them at the end of the day. Even when they come in a community like the church, what is all in their mind is, how the people around me are going to serve me, serve my ego, and give me the what I deserve. It's not that I have a certain function. I am a tool that I added to the members, but rather that I am the goal, and everyone around me should serve my presence. Those people who are givers, they give and are given even when there is no return. To give and to spend something, this is good. But actually, to be spent, you yourself, this is something higher. And to give and to be given with no return even, this is only befitting those people, the givers. Those very few people, they are in their mind, they are called to do so. This is exactly what St. Paul said to the Corinthians. And I will very gladly, look at this word, very gladly, spend and be spent for your souls. Though the more abundantly I love you, the less I am loved. He still very gladly spend and be spent. Look at sometimes us, when we even shy to spend, to give. We come short even in just giving back what we were giving. Then where we are from this, what St. Paul is saying, if I'm not able even to give, when I will learn to be given? If I'm not yet to give, when I will be like him, saying, I will still, even abundantly I love you, this I'm less loved, but still I'm very gladly spend and be spent. Sometimes we have a scale that measure exactly how much should I give, and this should be equal, maybe less, to what I receive. If my wife will do this, I will do that. If my parents will do this, I will do that. If the church is going to do this, I will do that. And the scale is very accurate. And of course, the scale is always to our side. But this is not what we are called for. This is what not we are learning from the Bible, about a person like St. Paul living in the image of Christ. The Lord Christ who came to give, just to give, and to spend, and be spent himself, even for those people who were calling, crucify him. They didn't make him to think twice, or to shake his conviction that I am here to do this. I am here to give, to spend, and be spent. Those people also who are givers, they accept the loss while moving towards their treasure. What do we mean by this? Very few people accept to lose, by the way. Even while they are playing, you find people who are sore losers. They don't want to lose. There is no way, even in any game. This also applied on life generally. In all the transactions that I have with other people, financially or otherwise, I should win. I accept win-win, yes, but I do not accept for any cause or reason that I lose whatsoever, even on the level of a simple argument. No, it's not going to end like this. I'm not going to allow the other person to feel that he was victorious over me in the argument. This is not going to happen. But again, look here, the Lord, when he said, for whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. What do I mean by they are moving towards their treasure? People in the world are either moving towards their treasure or moving away from it. What do you mean by this? If your treasure is in heaven, then what happens? Every morning, what happens? Every morning, you are closer to your treasure because your life is now minus a day. If your treasure is in the world, then every morning what happens? We are moving away from the treasure. Why? Because the treasure is behind me. And then I am away a day further. I am a day away from what I have kept here in the world. It's a mindset and a conviction where my treasure is. If it is in heaven, I move every day towards it. The time is shorter. Every morning, I am closer to my treasure, to my eternity. If my treasure is in the world, then every day I'm moving away from it, because the day will come when I will leave everything behind me. All what I have gathered to myself, I will just lose it behind me. Do we accept to lose sometimes? Do I accept this, that I will give, and even if I'm not going to be rewarded, I will take from the time of my rest to go ahead and serve others? I will accept that I will end an argument with saying, it's fine, okay, whatever you say, doesn't matter, let us keep the friendship. Those people also who are givers, they do not rest until they find a place of rest for the mighty one of Jacob. Heed the psalmist says in Psalm 132, I will not give sleep to my eyes or slumber to my eyelids until I find a place for the Lord, a dwelling place for the mighty one of Jacob. I will not allow myself to rest until I find a place of rest to God. What does he mean by this? He cannot go to sleep unless the Lord will find rest in his place. How the Lord will find rest? When we invite him, you remember what was said about the Son of Man, that he has no resting place for himself? Why not to open our homes to be a resting place for him? How we do this? When we pray, we invite him to come, and he finds the resting place in us. When we vow to purge out the love of sin away, he finds a place of rest in our hearts. When we heed his commandment, his orders, and his testimony, he finds himself a place of rest in us. Those people who are givers, they cannot rest. They are very hospitable to the Lord, the mighty one of Jacob. We need to look at this and we examine our homes. It's a very simple question. Is my home a suitable place for God to dwell in? If I invite him to come, would he come and find a resting place for him, or he cannot rest because of the quarrels and the divisions and the cursing and the lying and all kind of deception and malice that are taking place, unfortunately, in our families? How the Lord will find a place to rest like this? If he is not invited, nobody talks with him whatsoever, how he can find a resting place in our homes? If you have a guest who wanted to host him, you talk with him and you allow him to talk. This is prayer and reading the scripture. It's a hosting the mighty one of Jacob. You go to the people, the house of some people, they are very hospitable. They cannot sit unless they serve. They get you something to drink, another thing to drink, and something to eat, and they stuff you with all the kinds of things they have. Why? They want to show that you are very much welcomed. And they cannot rest and sit. They find joy to accommodate the guest. Do we do the same with the Lord? Do we really feel like there is no way I can go to sleep without hosting him and making him feel comfortable? Those people who are givers, the best among them, the elite among the elite, are those who still give even while being reproached. Look at this. Saint Paul says to the Corinthians, being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we endure. Being defamed, we entreat. Why? Why he is doing this? Simply because he cannot do otherwise. This is because he has this heart and this mind that cannot make or do something evil. As simple as this, no matter what happens, I will still cannot say something that's offensive to others. I cannot curse someone or make him in a way, he persecute me personally, and then I return it into another persecution. He can't. Being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we endure. Being defamed, we entreat. Again, St. John the Baptist was one of those people who are living in life as givers. And to live as a giver, we have to remember this, that those people who give are driven by a noble purpose that is outside themselves. They are very much aware of whom they are and what they are called for. They give and are given even when there is no return. They accept loss while moving towards their treasure, They do not rest until they find a place of rest for the mighty one of Jacob. The best among them are those who still give, even while being reproached. Glory be to God forever and ever.